thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 7 through 9. Welcome to the adult Sunday school class here at Harvest Time. Amen. A time of teaching from the Word of the Lord. Amen. I found that this book has it all. It's all. It's everything. It's complete. Somebody said, well, there's more books than what, this is all I need. I have trouble doing this without adding more books to the book. But it's all here. If you need a counselor, he's the counselor. If your father and mother forsake you, he said, the Lord will lift you up. You need a teacher, it's a teacher. You need a guide, it's a guide. Amen. Whatever you need, this book can be that to you. Paul writes to this church in Galatia, and he writes these words in verse 7 of chapter 5. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And then he writes, a little leaven leaveneth the whole thing. The whole lump. Amen. I want to talk about the influence of leaven this morning. The influence of leaven. Let's pray. God, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful that we can know you through the power and the Spirit of your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm glad you sent back a comforter in troubled times. We ask that you be with us, guide us through this sermon this morning. We'd understand the influences that other people have on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I love to pray. I don't know about you. I love to pray. But there was only one thing that the disciples asked Jesus that I can remember to do. He said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Jesus would pray and he'd say, Father, you know, restore unto me the glory that I once had since the foundation of the earth. It was easy for him to pray. But they would go and pray, bless mama, bless daddy. Bless. They had struggled with their prayers. And it was based upon relationship. They didn't have a relationship like Christ did with God. And so when you don't have relationship, it's tough to pray. And when two of you living together don't have relationship, it's tough to talk to each other. It's tough to communicate. So it's all about relationship. Everything's how you relate to something else. Can you say amen? It's how you relate to your job, how you relate to your church, how you relate to everything. It's all about relationship. So he taught them how to pray. It's difficult because if you don't have a relationship with him, it's just you talking. And you don't have a feeling that he's hearing and understanding or will answer your prayer. So I challenge you this morning to get into a relationship with God, and prayer becomes an easy thing to do. I want to talk about the influence of leaven this morning. I'm sure that all of you know leaven. You can go down to the store and buy a little pack of yeast, I guess it is, that you put in bread, little bitty pack, and you can incorporate that little bitty pack into a lump, if you will, of just regular dough, and it will swell. I mean, it will puff up. Yeah, it will puff up. And sometimes just a little word will make you puff up. And so, but you don't just sprinkle it on top. You incorporate it. You must knead it into there. And then after you knead it, let it sit a little while. Stew on it a little while. And after you stew on a little while, things begin to rise up. I can't believe he said that to me. That joker, if I had him again, I'd strangle him. But when he said it, he was like, yes, sir, no, sir. But a little leaven, just a little something incorporated into something very big can make it change dramatically. And so whether you know it or not, or will admit it or not this morning, there are people that you are around that influence your decisions. They have a strong influence in your decision, and sometimes it only takes a little word from them to make you change your mind totally. You were going to do one thing, but when they say, well, I wouldn't do that. Did you hear about him? I could tell you some stuff about him. That's all it takes. And all of a sudden, this decision you had made that was so firm, so final, now doubt, a seed of doubt has entered into your mind, and now you're not sure anymore. Amen. And so I want you to understand there are people in our Christian walk that can influence your decisions about where you go to church, how you worship, how you do this, how you dress, all these things by just a little seed they plant in your heart. So I want to take these three verses here. We're going to bounce off of this as quickly as I can this morning. That first one said, ye did run well. You run well. You started out good. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Paul is teaching this young church at Galatia. He says, you know, you started out really, really good. You had great intentions. You started out with sincerity of mind and the purity of thought. You were on the right track. But he said, I've got to ask you this. Who? Who? It's much like that the Lord, when he saw that Adam was naked, he said, who? Who did tell you this? Who influenced you that you're not obeying the truth? Paul wanted to know who got you off track so that you are no longer obeying what you once obeyed. Sometimes you start out real good and sincere. Lord, I'm giving this up. I'm giving that up. Lord, I don't need this anymore. Click, delete that friend. I don't need this. And you're doing the right thing. But after you've been living for God a while, well, maybe that wasn't so bad after all. And you start being entangled again with the things you once destroyed. And he said, if you entangled again with the things you once destroyed, you become a transgressor. That's what the book says. And so he's talking about things that hinder you from running. And I, you know, you don't have to take a rope and tie somebody up to a tree to hinder them. That may stop them, but sometimes you get hindered. You remember the rabbit and the tortoise? What happened to the rabbit? Why did he lose? It wasn't because he wasn't fast. It was because he got hindered. It was because of things along the way that hindered him. But the tortoise wasn't fast, but he was sure-footed, if you will, and he was unhindered by the things around him. And he won the race. He said, you did run well, Brother Rabbits. What happened? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I don't know about you, but my wife drives our car, even though I'm behind the wheel. I have the gas pedal and the brake, but I had a GPS before there was GPSs. Amen. I told her, put on my grave, are you going to stop? And they have this thing on the car now, you know, this car we have now that it senses when you're too close. It'll start applying the brakes whether you want to apply it or not. And one time it went off. Said, see there, I told you. No, you just make, no, three times. No, one time. It applied the brakes. See there, I've been telling you all these years. I can't help if the thing's wrong. It's not my fault. But so many times you can be hindered. You can be the driver, and you're, you know, everybody's depending on you. And somebody says, oh, look over here. And you're going, Arch! By the time you look back, it hindered you. I tell people, I tell Brother Charlie, I told Brother Chris, when you take those kids up there, you tell them, don't talk to me. Don't talk to the driver while he's driving. Your own life is at risk when you cut up. Because you hinder his ability to drive properly. And so many times we are hindered in our walk from God. Oh, y'all don't need to do that anymore. Oh, y'all are still in bondage over there. You know, all this kind of stuff makes you think, well, maybe I am in bondage. And it hinders. You was happy till they said that. Now, all of a sudden, you got to reexamine yourself. Are you understanding what leaven is this morning? Okay, so Paul talks about being hindered in such a way that you did not obey the truth. You were hindered so bad you weren't even following the truth anymore. And let me tell you, when you don't follow the truth, you commit what's called an error. Error, E-R-R-O-R, an error. And I want to talk to you about the difference between a mistake and an error. Now, if you look it up in Webster, they're kind of synonymous. But as it relates to faith, they're not. And I want to look at the Christian way or the biblical way of looking at a mistake, if you will, and an error. Making a mistake is not based upon your desire to disobey the truth. Listen close, because you need to know this. Because sometimes you make a mistake and sometimes you make an error. And they're two different things. A mistake is not based upon your desire to disobey the truth. But an error is a flaw in a person's spiritual character where they intentionally disobey the truth. They knew the truth, but they intentionally did not obey it. So these Galatians are not making a mistake. They are making an error. They are erring from truth. So making a mistake is sometimes better than making an error. Let's look at 1 John 4:4. It said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That scripture is quoted very often to people that want to conquer. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, but he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So we have two things working here. We have the spirit of truth and the one that wants to bring you away from the truth. It's called the spirit of error. And he said, when we speak truth, people listen that are truthful. When we speak truth and error is there, they will depart. They will not follow us. He said, thereby we know the difference between the two spirits. Paul talked to Timothy about money. He said, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." They have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So to err from the faith means to make an error, meaning I know the truth, but because money was involved, I made an error. I did something I shouldn't have done, even though I knew I shouldn't do it because of money. Money can make you funny. It's the root of all evil. It props up everything. Err means, again, to go away from. Thus we get our word error, meaning to leave something and to leave the truth. Some people will leave the truth over money. Some people will leave the truth over somebody else or other things. They depart from the truth. Even Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He erred from the truth. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." You err. You think you know the scriptures, but you're departing from it. While you're quoting scriptures, you're not even living it. Pharisees, hypocrites. James said this, and I love the way he says this. He said, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." You and I, brothers and sisters, job is to help people that are in error. They know the truth, but they're not living the truth. He said, you can convert these people from the error of their ways or the error of their ways, from leaving the truth. An error is any deviation from the truth. Somebody said, well, it was just a white lie. It's just a white lie. The plant didn't need it anyway. You know, they have plenty. But what happens is you're erring from the truth. Hallelujah. And this spirit of error influences you to go away from this truth. So we see that there are those people that live in truth, in the spirit of truth, and those that live with the spirit of error. They're always going away from the truth, and they hold the truth, the Bible says, in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they don't live the truth. Now, stay focused here. An error is when you know to do good and do it not. The book says, to know to do good and to do it not, to him it is, help me, S-I-N. If you know to do good and you do it not, the Bible says it's sin. And last time I checked, sin can't enter there. Okay, that is to know to do good and do it not. A mistake is wrong, but it's not intentional. It is a mistake. A mistake. Anybody here ever made a mistake? Mistaken. It's like, you see somebody over there and you go, oh, look, that's Jose, Jose. And you go, Jose. And he goes, turns around, and you look, it's not Jose, it's Julio. And he goes, like, I don't know you. And you go, I'm sorry, I was mistaken. I didn't intentionally call you. I called you what I really thought you were. Are you still with me? I'm trying to teach you the difference so you help yourself. If I passed out to all of you 10 numbers to add up, and I say, add these numbers up, I can assure you somebody's not going to get the right answer. They're going to try, and they're going to add, and 5 plus 5 plus 3 plus 8 carry the 1, and all this kind of stuff. They want to come up with the right answer, but they come up with the wrong answer. It's called a mistake. Mistake. You wanted to get the right answer, but you come up with the wrong answer. To not try and just write a number down is an error. Oh, my Lord, I'm trying to teach y'all something. In school, though, they graded you whether it was right or wrong. It doesn't matter that you said, man, I forgot to carry the 1. I didn't mean it. X, right, school teacher? X. You know, sometimes in life you make what's called honest mistakes. I'm not sure there's any honest errors. But you do make honest mistakes in life. And while in school, they look at the bottom line. They don't look at how hard you studied. All they want to know is, did you get the right answer? I'm glad I don't have a schoolmaster over me in my walk with Christ, because I'd never make it. But I have a master, a master of grace and of mercy, who looks down and says, I judge you by the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Not necessarily the answer. You tried to get it right. You just got the wrong answer. Now let's try it again. I'm glad I serve a God that can forgive me. Anybody ever heard of faith? Have you ever heard of good faith gone bad? Let me tell you, people don't get married so they can just get divorced. They don't get married and say, hey, I want to marry you so I can divorce you. They married in good faith, but the good faith went bad. It turns out not to be an error, but a mistake. I thought I knew you. I thought you were, maybe you should have known them better. But when you got married, you thought you knew them and had good intentions. But good faith can go bad. You can take a job and say, oh, this is the job of a lifetime. And then when you